Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Last week I talked with you about the secrets taught in liberal seminaries. And I gave you a special eyewitness account of those things that I saw and heard at the Lutheran Theological Seminary at Gettysburg of the ELCA denomination. And this was one of the three seminaries that I attended on my journey toward being a pastor, the other two being conservative. And as is typical of most liberal seminaries, what is taught there is something called this historical critical approach to the Bible, which basically means that they call into question the authority of Scripture, the reliability of Scripture, the authorship of Scripture, and ultimately the truth of Scripture, as we talked about last week. And the errors in doctrine that you arrive at from this approach to the Scriptures, in which many of the future pastors and shepherds of God's flock were hearing there, are the following. I've heard taught there that there's no devil, no hell, no day of the Lord, no wrath-filled judgment, no forgiveness of sins in Paul's gospel, moral laxity, and praying Our Mother who art in heaven in chapel. Remember that? And ultimately a denial, what I found to be the heart of the gospel, which is that we are justified, pronounced righteous before God by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, which, by the way, is the gospel which I confess in our denomination, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, does confess. And how do we arrive at this gospel? By our approach to the Scripture, which is that it is God's inerrant and infallible word, written by men, but inspired by the Holy Spirit, as even Jesus and the apostles all testify. And we then saw last week about the making of a wolf in sheep's clothing, how they're trained, a false shepherd and a false pastor. And I want you to know they are a real threat. Jesus warned us in the last days. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24. What does he say? And do you think Jesus is joking here? He says, verse 11, "And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because wickedness is multiplied, most men's love will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Take heed that no one leads you astray," he says in Matthew chapter 24. So, is it going to happen? It is happening, according to Jesus' word. And so last week we talked about the making of a wolf in sheep's clothing. This week I'd like to talk with you about how to escape them, based on the experiences God has given me and what he teaches us in his holy word, the Scriptures. And my aim is that, as it says in Ephesians 4, that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the cunning of men, by their craftiness and deceitful wiles. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And my aim, by your help of your prayers and God's Holy Spirit, is to be a good and faithful shepherd to you. And one of the things we need to look at then is how to escape false teachers. I'm going to give you a lot of personal testimony today, again, as to how the Lord delivered me and continues to do so. So, how do you escape false teachers? That's what we're talking about today. What do we need to overcome? You ready? Number one thing God says you need is knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge of his truth. As it says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 in the Old Testament, God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Have you experienced that in your life, been led astray because you didn't understand things from God's word, which brings light to you? That's been my experience, let me tell you. I grew up not having much knowledge. I was not well trained. I grew up in the Episcopal Church. At least my particular Episcopal Church taught little on the gospel. I've basically never heard what I just said to you a few moments ago, by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. Didn't hear that from the pulpit. Didn't really hear doctrine preached on. A little bit on morals, occasionally, but not much. I rarely heard about the cross. Very rarely heard just the name Jesus magnified, or the resurrection from the dead preached on as a clear doctrine of Scripture to believe in. So all these things being absent from the pulpit, I grew up without having a lot of knowledge of the way. And so what happened to me, do you think? I wandered, because that's what sheep do. And don't get me wrong, from my early days, I've always had a zeal for God. I've been a faithful attender at church, and I wanted to lay down my life for God from an early age, but I didn't know. And you know what? My zeal was actually used against me by the enemy of our souls. The devil made an easy prey of me because I was thirsting after knowledge but didn't know where to find it. And so, as I grew older, I read all kinds of books. Not necessarily Christian books. Taking a little bit here, a little bit there into my Christian religion. And anything that claimed to talk about spiritual truth. I could get hooked and beguiled by certain movies. Like Star Wars. Remember that? Didn't that seem really cool? Where Yoda's saying, you know, you shouldn't try, Luke. You should just do and believe and all these things. Sounded good to me. I thought, hey, I could take that into my faith. And there's some elements of truth there, but you just can't believe in the Force, Luke. Okay? Also, I listened to many friends. We'd get into conversations, try to discuss what was true and what wasn't true. And I could listen to strangers and people I met trying to discern what's right and wrong from them. And I didn't really have the compass of God's Word and a knowledge. And so I took a little here, a little there. My Christian faith became a smorgasbord of a little bits from all kinds of sources in my quest for the truth. And again, I didn't turn aside from church. All my friends at college had hangovers on Sunday morning. I went to church early in the morning. But what did I find there? Well, let me share with you one particular trouble I had. For in Malachi chapter 2, which we read a few moments ago, God says this, "For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he's the messenger of the Lord of hosts." That sounds good, right? And so what did I do? Wanting to be a faithful Christian, sought wisdom and instruction from the mouth of a priest regarding a particular problem I had, which was my question, what should be the relationship between a man and a woman prior to marriage? Is it okay to be together or not? And that was a big question because all my friends had no problem going into that. The world all taught that way. Every movie I watched said that that was the cool thing to do. Advertisements everywhere were telling me that's the right thing to do. Yet, in my mind, there was the voice of my father, who is moral, and he told me, I heard that word saying no. Also, the voice of my heroes, imaginary heroes I had, saying that is not the righteous way to go. Wait for marriage. But I didn't know. So what did I do? I went to a priest, Episcopal priest, where I attended every Sunday. And I said, I have this problem. I don't know which way is right. And at that point, I hadn't even kissed a girl. I was in college. Don't want to get too personal here. But what I will say, I asked him, what is the right way to go? I need knowledge. And you know what he said to me? He said, Jesus never said anything about that in the Bible. That's not okay. In fact, as long as you don't harm anybody, it's okay. That was the advice of the Episcopal priest in confidentiality that he shared with me, where I went to him in great pain asking, what's the right way to go here? And in the end, his final word to me after several sessions was, I don't want you to lose this little line at a bar that your priest said you to go for it, but have fun. Those were his exact words. And so what was I talking with here? I was talking, is it the lips of a priest who guards knowledge, that men may seek instruction from his mouth, for he's the messenger of the Lord of hosts? No, I tell you, it was a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I could have been led astray into great danger by this wolf in sheep's clothing had not the Lord by his grace simply preserved me by grace, because I was preserved for my wife, but not through knowledge, but only the power of the Holy Spirit working in my life and arranging things. But look what it says here. But you have turned aside from the way, O priest. You've caused many to stumble by your instruction. You've corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And we know that the Lord hates those who lead his people astray. The shepherds, Jeremiah 50 says, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, turning them away on the mountains. From the mountain to the hill they have gone, they have forgotten their fold. I was suffering from what in my life? A lack of knowledge. If I had had knowledge, if the priest had simply said, here it is, right there in Scripture, like I do for you, then I would have said, fine, okay, I'll trust in the Lord and go that right route. But instead, heartache, pain, difficulty, and near-death experience in getting led into the wrong way. Of course, the Lord can redeem us even if we do make mistakes and things like that. But then from this, I went down the road further in my quest for truth. And what did I find? I thought I'd look into the New Age. What could be harmful if I just look into it and see whether parts I might want to take into my Christian faith? I looked into meditation to have spiritual experience. I looked into Native American spirituality and all such false teachings. And I thought I could just sprinkle these into my Christian faith and maintain it. But what I was being destroyed for was a lack of knowledge and getting into great danger. And I remember the day in Maine where I was on a hill outside of Rockland toward early evening. And I cried out to the Lord. Finally, I just admitted that a dark cloud of oppression had come over my soul and I couldn't shake it. And I cried out, God, save me from this. Teach me the right way, for I have gotten myself lost. And boy, I tell you, I was lost. But the Lord heard me from his holy hill. As it says in Ezekiel 34, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when some of his sheep have been scattered abroad, so I will seek out my sheep, and I'll rescue them from the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I confess to you today that my good shepherd, not by my righteousness, not by my goodness, but because of his mercy, he reached into my life, saved me, called me, and found me as a sheep. And shortly thereafter, I came to Jesus Christ. Although I'd sort of known him before, boy, I came to him running, knowing this is the one. He's the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him, and devoted to his word and to his knowledge. Knowledge of the truth, because I'd been burned. I said, I want to know knowledge now. And I knew where to find it. This is where I'm going to find that knowledge that'll lead me on the way of life and to eternal life and in fellowship with my God. And so, from that day on, what did I do? I have been devoted to hearing this, listening to sermons on the radio, ferreting out to find the right preachers. I've been memorizing and ingesting this word and thirsting for it and trying to drink it ever since. And boy, has that saved me. Do you think I would have been able to survive my year and year and a half in the ELCA at the Lutheran Seminary, liberal seminary, had it not been for knowledge? If I had gone down there without having gone first to Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, a conservative one, where I learned about historical criticism from them who didn't believe it first, then I got down to Gettysburg and said, oh my goodness, they really believe this stuff. But if I had not been taught that, if I didn't have knowledge ahead of time, I would have been swallowed alive and whole, or very nearly destroyed in my faith, for even with my knowledge, I barely scraped through by the skin of my teeth and running the gauntlet and coming out alive. And by grace through faith, yes, I held on to God's truth. For it stands in Scripture, Proverbs 4, verse 5, do not forget, God says, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. And this is a theme for me. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word. And also Psalm 119, when I was hearing my professors down there at the liberal seminary, we're going to teach on a new book, Philemon or Philippians or Colossians. You know what I did to prepare for that? so that I wouldn't get all tainted in my mind by their teaching before I ever studied the book. I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning every day for an hour and memorize the scripture until I've memorized Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon that year. I memorized all those books word for word. And the reason was because when my professors are going to speak on it, I had to know what they're talking about ahead of time. I needed knowledge because I knew if I didn't have knowledge, I was toast in so many words. And then Psalm 119 says, "Thy commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it's ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." So, the thing I'm telling you today is seek after knowledge. You cannot read the scriptures too much, as Luther says. What you read, you can't read too carefully. What you read carefully, you can't understand too well. What you understand too well, you cannot teach too well. What you teach too well, you cannot live too well. Knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of it. Therefore, you want to be saved from false teachers. What you need is knowledge. And the more you understand of this book, as the unfolding of its words gives you light, you'll be able to see very clearly, very quickly, most false prophets. Boom. You're out of line with this book. I reject that. But if you don't know it, then you're easily led astray. So that's my first word to you today. Escape them. Gain knowledge. And whatever you get, congregation, get wisdom from God. The second thing, and that I learned in escaping false teachers in my life, was the fear of the Lord. You know, we all wrestle a bit with the fear of man, don't we? I'm pretty bold right here. Go out to Walmart, would I be able to preach this sermon as easily? Stand up in the middle of aisle 10? How about you guys? You're pretty bold as Christians here. Go out and share your faith out there in the world. There's the fear of man that assails you. Am I not right? And that fear of man is very dangerous. As it says in Proverbs, the fear of man lays a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord is safe. What I want to instruct you today as your shepherd who seeks to be faithful is to learn to fear the Lord and not be afraid of people at all anymore in any wise. When I went down to Gettysburg Seminary, I had knowledge, and that saved me. But also, even with knowledge, I was tempted to walk a very almost twisted path. I walked straight, but I was tempted to be quiet about my faith, don't speak up too much. Why? Because of fear of man. You have the name of bishops there. You have clergy, PhDs, doctors, doctors of ministry, professors, ecclesiastical supervisors. Three special interviews you have to go through to get to ordinations. That's not intimidating to you? Especially if you have a wife and a one-year-old daughter and you're wondering what the future holds for you. Do these people hold my future? I better be careful. I spoke up. I held to the truth, and I should challenge my professors and preach the gospel there to them in class and question. But on the other hand, I'll tell you what I felt like. Romans 11, Elijah, who says, "Lord, they've killed thy prophets, they've demolished thy altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life." That's the way I felt there. Do you ever feel like this? The fear of man surrounding you, hemming you in, pressing you on every side to get you to depart from the way of life? Or even cell phones calling you at various times? Well, what does the Lord say? Isaiah 51, I am he that comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of a man who dies? The son of man who is made like grass and have forgotten the Lord your maker who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. When I was on vicarage, my supervisor noticed I was having trouble with sermons and preparing them, getting really nervous about them, and how I changed one sermon from the first service to the second because I didn't think it went well. And he's like, "You know, you need to get over your fear of people, your fear of men." Although he's more inclusive, so I said fear of people. And you know what? He's the one who taught me that more than anybody else by attacking me. He wanted me to give up my teaching of the gospel, and at first I was afraid of him because here's the guy who holds my future in his hands. He can say no, and I'm out. But on the other hand, what I learned from him in those days eventually was, my future's not in your hands. My future's not in the hands of a bishop or of a clergy or of a PhD or of a professor or of an interview committee. None of those things. My future is in God's hands. And therefore, that freed me up, and I want that same freedom for you. And ever since then, my lips have been loosed. Before then, I was tongue-tied. I knew the truth. I had the truth. I believed the truth. But I couldn't yet freely speak the truth. But I did when I went up to the interview committee. They told me beforehand, this is where I was had to go up for an interrogation by seminary professors of the ELCA because I confessed faith in Christ was necessary for salvation. And that God's word was an inerrant, infallible word. They didn't want that. They didn't like that. And they called me ahead of time, said, "Don't be afraid of this interview, Greg. We're not here to harm you." I'm like, yeah, right. But on the other hand, I said to him, "I'm not afraid, oh, assistant the bishop who was calling me. I'm not afraid because you know what? I don't have to share even one word of my own at this interview. I'll just reopen this book and read this book. So you make sure you bring a Bible because I'll just share with you my faith from here. This is very simple for me." I was so free, and it was so gratifying. Felt like I had broad, sunlit spaces, finally, where I could speak his word. And God delivered me. And Luther says, a pastor as he should preach as he stands high in a mountain, in a public place, and looks around freely. So he should also speak freely and fear no one. Though he sees many kinds of people and faces, he should not hold a leaf in front of his mouth. That's what I've learned. That's what I want you to learn. For Luther says also, God must blind preachers as horses are blinded when he wants to send them against Satan in the world. For who can match the devil and Satan? But through fear of the Lord, God says in Isaiah, do not fear man, but rather let the Lord be your fear. Let him be your dread. Is that the one whom you fear today? If you fear the Lord, you know your future and everything. Your whole bounty is in his hands. It all comes from him. He can direct anyone's heart any way he wishes, make straight any path for you any which way he wants. And you just hold fast to him and preach his word. And you know you're going to look for your reward from him and not from people. Then you'll be free. And that's what is such a blessed exhilaration I want you to experience also. For Proverbs 29:26 says, many seek the favor of a ruler, but from the Lord a man gets justice. I couldn't come into the ELCA before. That's why I went to the LCMS before, because that's why I went to the ELCA. Because they wouldn't accept my transfer credits, and I had to be a member here 2 years before I could go to our seminary. What happened after I stood up for the Lord? What happened after he inspired me by faith to preach the word? Something unheard of, and nobody's heard of since. All of a sudden, I'm speaking to the dean of admissions who says, we're going to bend the rules a little bit here for you. We're going to waive the 2-year membership that's necessary for being a seminarian. Also, we're going to give you transfer credits of a year and a half of your 4 years of seminary. Okay, so they didn't go the whole way. But on the other hand, the Lord makes the way open. You got to decide for yourselves right now, whose hands is your future in? If it's in man's, okay, fear man. But if it's in God's, then just speak his way and let the chips fall where they may. That's what we need to do as Christians, to escape faithless and false prophets and their tricks. And the third thing, and final one, to escape the false teachers, although there are many, is I simply say, hold fast the gospel. You know, that's really ultimately what it's all about. At seminary, you can hear all kinds of things, no devil, no hell, no our mother who art in heaven, all that kind of stuff. But what it was really about is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. If you hold that, you have the foundation of your salvation, and you'll be saved. If you lose that, you lose everything. And there are many false prophets, and that's what they're ultimately about. That's why Paul says, I'm astonished to the Galatians that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which you believed, let him be accursed. And what is that gospel? It's, as he says in Galatians 2, we ourselves who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet who know that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law shall no one be justified. If you want to fight the good fight of the faith, hold fast to that gospel. Sure, every congregation loves to hear a good story, and God bless the pastors who bring a good story. That's great. I, too, can bring a story. But what I'm going to bring you every week is this: justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, because I want to be found a good shepherd and a faithful one, and then direct you to good works, to the glory of God. So hold fast these things, and you'll be safe. For Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." And I'm thankful that we have the good shepherd who has laid down his life for the sheep through the blood of his cross to bring us home. In Jesus' name, amen.